Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And I am honored to have back the Reverend Percy McCray. He's a cancer survivor himself, ordained minister. He's the director of the faith-based programs there at the Cancer Treatment Center of America, host of a popular podcast, Health, Hope, and an Inspiration. In addition, Pastor McCray oversees Our Journey of Hope, a nationwide cancer care ministry training and support program. A couple of websites, cancercenter.com or healthhopeandinspiration.com, or a couple of websites. Reverend McCray, good to see you, friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Perry. How are you, buddy?
Good. You know, I can't tell you how much we get in response talking to you. I just want to say thank you and encourage you. God's using you, friend, and I'm always encouraged talking to you. So thanks for being there and what you're doing and by being obedient and doing it.
Well, I'm grateful to God, so thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah. I want to ask you a big question first to start things. I think cancer, in one way or another, has impacted every one of us. Is it epidemic?
Well, I guess it depends on how you want to define epidemic. But I will say this, going back to the original point, there is no one walking the planet or very, very few people who have not been touched or impacted directly or indirectly by cancer. And with that being said, you know, before the COVID pandemic took place, the number one conversation, by and large, was the cancer conversation, and it kind of took a back seat. But what we found out after we, quote unquote, came out of the COVID pandemic was the fact that cancer incidence rose because of people not being able to access their healthcare providers. So it's in our face, and we can't avoid it. So on some level, philosophically, I guess we could call it an epidemic, sure.
By the way, today, February 1st, is the beginning of National Cancer Prevention Month. So thank you for your time and for what you do. And hopefully we can make more people aware of this. Any numbers from last year about diagnosis, or is that number even tracked?
That number is tracked, and we're waiting for some updated information. But what I can tell you, great news with regard to some statistics that have been published within the last 2 or 3 months is the fact that we are now tracking 33% of cancer death rate that has decreased, you know, so since we've started measuring and tracking, you know, the longevity of life of people being contracted with cancer, that number has gone down 33% of survival rate. And I'm sorry, I've gone up. People are surviving on a level that is just incredible. And it is because of, as you mentioned, early prevention and new detection that we need to encourage everyone to access at the end of the day. So it's a super important message. It really is.
To that point, we have made some tremendous advances in cancer treatment, haven't we? I don't know where cancer levels were 20 years ago and where they are today, but in that increase of maybe of cases or diagnosis, there's also an increase in technology. Can you give us an update?
Absolutely. And that's the exciting part of the cancer conversation. We all are impacted by the advancement of technology and science on every level. Think about what we're doing right now with regard to, you know, communicating via, you know, a camera and across the country. And, you know, you're on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast. So technology is a huge driver. And again, one of the key dynamics in helping to drive down the rate of cancer deaths, when we talk about being scoped, you know, endoscopies, you know, colonoscopies, mammograms, you know, some of the science with regard to precision medicine and, you know, being able to target specific types of cancers that are relative to that unique individual and its genetic profile, genomic testing. All of those things are part of the advancement of technology of the day that is really giving us the advantage on fighting back and pushing back against the negative impact that, to your point, 20, 30 years ago, when you heard the word cancer, typically you had a death sentence that was kind of looming over your head. And that's just not the case today. More and more people are living, thriving, and surviving with cancer than any time before. because of the advancement of technology, and we need to continue to take advantage of it.
In that advancement of technology comes the understanding and the description of different kinds of cancer. I'm amazed today to hear more and more types. Are you?
Absolutely. It goes back to a previous point when we talk about precision medicine. You know, years ago when we would talk about cancer, we would speak to it in very general terms, you know, breast cancer, colon cancer. Well, there are different types of cancer, even in those subsets that are very specific, very unique to the genetic makeup of an individual and to the genetic makeup of the cancer cell itself. And so, again, the ability to understand that, to identify that, and then to create a treatment option that will speak directly to that unique identification becomes crucial and imperative. You know, I'm going on my fourth year as a cancer survivor myself, early colon cancer survivor. And one of the dynamics there was, again, early detection. And then the fact that I had robotic surgery, talking about the technology that removed a golf ball sized tumor. And my doctor fundamentally never really touched me. It was all done robotically, which really provided me with a quicker recovery time. I was up and about, moving very quickly within 30 days. Again, all because of everything that we're talking about in terms of this advanced ability to attack and approach cancer on levels that we simply dared think of 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
Wonderful. I want to come to the heart of what God called you to do, and that's be there. Okay. And when a person is diagnosed with cancer, you've been there, I've been there with people, and I tell you, the world stops. The world stops.
It does. And yeah. When you hear the word cancer, it stops you in your tracks. You're absolutely.
Oop. Did we lose him? Okay. Let me do this. Let me take a break. We'll get him back. Let me give you a couple of websites. What Pastor McRae does is amazing. Oh, there he is. He's back. Okay, we got that. Cancercenter.com or healthhopeandinspiration.com. So often, again, when you're diagnosed, the world stops and people begin to reflect, think, panic, all of those. Can you give us a little tip on when we hear that somebody's got cancer, what should be our response to them so that we don't do the wrong thing here?
You're right. So when you hear the word cancer spoken to you directly, it's going to cause you to pause and have to kind of recalibrate because no one is really prepared to hear that term. But when we're supporting someone, if we're a caregiver, a family member, a church member, the first thing that we should do is that we should pause and not knee-jerk and just react emotionally and be a listening ear. Every cancer patient wants to be heard and given permission to kind of speak from the perspective of where they are living in that moment, whether it is emotional discombobulation, fear, what have you. The first thing that we need to do is say, listen, what can I do for you? What do you need from me right now? Because the cancer patient needs to be allowed to drive the bus. So we do not need to offer unsolicited information. We do not need to necessarily share stories of what has happened to other individuals because this is a unique and personal dynamic. Start first with being a good listener and allow them to give you the directives of where they want to go in that conversation. What can I do for you right now is your first and initial response.
That's such simple and good advice. One little comment and question before I take a break. So often we don't do that. We immediately tell our story.
Right.
How damaging is that?
It is damaging because our story or someone else's story is just that. It is not that person's story. And so there may be elements and aspects that may be applicable, but there may be many aspects of that just simply does not apply to their situation and their scenario. And so let's give them the benefit of, let's talk about and unpack the unique components of your story, your journey, and the unique expression of what's going on with you. And then we begin to build and help support a narrative based upon those factoids that is coming from that patient at that time. And it's a temptation because we want to jump in and immediately provide some type of response that may just not be appropriate for that scenario or that situation.
Do you have a team that you've trained to work with you on the ministry side of things?
I do. I have a great team that I work with, that I have a dotted line relationship with at all of the local Cancer Treatment Center of America hospitals, which we are now City of Hope. At those three facilities, I have tremendous pastoral care leaders at every facility in Chicago, Atlanta, and Phoenix. And we work very close together. They are in the internal hospital at the bedside every day, and I provide for them needed and necessary support as we talk about the things that are important. And then, of course, strategies and protocols as we move forward. So, yeah, unbelievable team. I couldn't do this work by myself. I couldn't be more privileged and proud to work with those gentlemen.
Yeah, what a team. All right, let me take a quick break. Check out two websites, cancercenter.com or Health and Hope, or excuse me, healthhopeandinspiration.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
So honored to have back with us when he gives us the time. We value it greatly, the Reverend Percy McCray. He's the, he's ordained minister and the director of the faith-based programs at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. He himself is a cancer survivor. He's also the host of a very popular podcast, Health, Hope, and Inspiration, which is also a website, healthhopeandinspiration.com. And he oversees Our Journey of Hope, a nationwide cancer care ministry training and support program. So a couple of websites, cancercenter.com and then healthhopeandinspiration.com. Pastor McCray, I've been trying to think during the break how I'd ask this question, so forgive me if I stumble a little bit here, because you're a pro. You're a pro. You're dealing with a patient who's looking at possibly conventional medicine, natural remedies, no treatment. You got a family trying to speak into all of this, and you're trying to bring the faith component into all of this. Where do you start, man?
That's a great question. And at the end of the day, I have had to tackle that many, many times. It is first my philosophical, theological, and professional medical opinion that anyone who is dealing with any type of sickness and disease or threat from a healthcare perspective, sit down and have a thorough conversation, first and foremost, with a medical professional. One of the things and misnomers that I speak against often is the idea of negating or ignoring medical treatment and care. If nothing else, first start and sit down and have a conversation to know exactly what you are dealing with, even from a faith perspective. If the direction is that you want to use your faith from an exclusive perspective, it's a different conversation, but at least know what you're dealing with and what you're trying to address and what you need to pray about and pray for. First and foremost, I think that in many cases, the faith community tries to avoid just having a direct engagement with the medical community, and it's really out of fear. And fear is not faith. And so we want to continue to make sure that we deal with that dynamic. Then the other element, we transition very quickly into either, you know, a natural approach or what some people may call holistic approach at the end of the day is a really tricky area to navigate and negotiate. Again, I encourage everyone, seek out a healthcare environment that also incorporates some naturopathic components while receiving good clinical care. One of the things that we have prided ourselves at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, now City of Hope, that, again, in giving people the option of being able to use both so that those two worlds and those two disciplines are talking to each other and not one siloed from the other. There has been some scientific data that suggests that naturopathic approaches have benefits to them. But in many cases, just to kind of ignore, again, the therapeutic and medical approach in absence of, is just not a very good recommendation. But people, you know, have to follow the conscience of their heart. But I think that there can be a healthy balance actually between all three, having good medical treatment, being able to use some naturopathic components that will not fight against or be contrary to your medical treatment, as well as be able to utilize and exercise your faith. How about being able to do all of that under one roof where they are complementary one to another versus in absentia of the other? And that's, again, one of the philosophical approaches of Cancer Treatment Centers of America and City of Hope, where you can have your spiritual care needs met and incorporated, have some naturopathic dynamics that can be applied to your medical and clinical process to give you the best of all of those worlds. So hopefully they can work on your best behalf and be amalgamated together for the potential of a good and healthy outcome.
At the end of the day, the patient makes his decision or her decision. Okay. And your job is to come alongside and support that, right?
It's absolutely correct. The word paraclete, for those of us of people of faith, is the Greek word for Holy Spirit, one who comes to aid and assist. That is our role inside of the faith, inside of the healthcare community, and what we're actually training churches to be able to do in their local faith communities is to learn how to walk alongside, to be of aid and assistance to those mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually while they're battling cancer, so that they're not doing this alone and by themselves. One of the key dynamics historically for a cancer patient has been a sense of feeling isolated because people then ignored them and walked around them because they didn't know what to do or say. So again, it is necessary and it is incumbent that cancer patients feel that they're being heard and supported and nurtured. And we're building an army, literally, of people of faith who learn how to do that. And that is our role. We're not there to tell them what to do or not to do, but we're there to aid and assist them. Again, they drive the bus. We get the privilege to ride on it. And we're there to be present for them when they need us, as they need us.
Being diagnosed with cancer could literally be a person's PTSD moment.
It's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to place that. I remember the day when I heard the news that I was diagnosed with cancer. I had my part of my family, my grandchildren was visiting. They were in the pool swimming, and I got the call from my GI and said, listen, you need to see an oncologist as soon as you can. You got a golf ball-sized tumor that needs to be removed. Well, everything kind of stops. You know, the world just kind of shuts down for a second, and you have to process that. And depending on, again, one's mental makeup and their coping mechanisms that they have in place, it becomes a moment where you are stressed and you are kind of paralyzed for a second because you're trying to figure out what do I do now and what will happen to me. And so, yeah, that is a great way to place that. And again, the ability to process out of that becomes crucial for those that hear that news. And that's part of the work that I do and why we have to be available for cancer patients.
The reason I bring that up is because so often in the processing of a PTSD moment, there's several stages. There is the denial stage, there's the anger stage, there's the depression stage, et cetera. But the one that really is so difficult to manage is the denial stage. You can actually work somebody through the anger stage. I get it. I totally get that. And I'm not putting that down. It's real because anger can lead to depression and all those things. But you come back to the denial stage. What do you do?
Yeah, there's a lot of cancer patients who psychologically and emotionally just shut down. And so to your point, they will get in denial. And this is an area that I would suggest happens in some cases from a faith perspective, where, again, I'm not going to address this. I'm just going to pray it away. You know, I'm not going to go back to my doctor. I remember having a conversation with a young lady who actually came and was evaluated with an advanced stage of breast cancer. And she said, I just can't deal with this. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to go home and trust God. And unfortunately, she passed away very shortly. So helping people to try to work through that becomes a very interesting dance because, again, part of the denial is just the shock of it. And so our role hopefully can be to sit down and help people process, not suppress, not deny, but process what they are feeling and why they are entering into kind of a denial phase and not with judgment. I think that this is another element from a faith community that we need to be very careful where we don't somehow suggest that cancer is a result of sin or lack of faith in their life, but allow a very open and honest space where people can unpack that emotion and then potentially help maneuver and help support them through a denial phase so that they can begin to enter into, looking at options and choices of what should and can be done to move forward beyond that diagnosis.
Okay, one more big question. Maybe we can't get to the bottom of it today, but we'll start the conversation. And that is when the diagnosis is terminal and you have to shift from not only treatment, but to hopefully introduce faith to a non-believer. I mean, you're on a timeline here. You're a pastor. Yeah. You're an evangelist. You want everybody in heaven. How do you manage this timeline?
Yeah, that is a skill set, and it's tricky, no question about it. The key to it is hopefully you've had an opportunity to maybe build some rapport and relationship with this patient prior to entering into what we call end-of-life phases and end-of-life stages to get a sense of where they're located or not located from a spiritual perspective. And then, of course, because a healthcare organization is not a faith-based organization, hopefully it's faith-friendly, as our organization is that then you have an opportunity to possibly introduce to them, you know, the prospects of life after, you know, death, as you will, and begin to kind of enter into that discussion and, you know, and maybe ask a couple of probing questions along the lines of, if indeed this is the end of the line and there's nothing else that can be done and you may expire, have you given thought to what will happen to you beyond this present moment? And would you be open to discussing that and be willing to receive some information or something to consider? In many cases, for me, that has always been a good way to introduce, quote unquote, the opportunity to present, you know, some concepts around eternity and God and salvation. And in many cases, patients are open and receptive for obvious reasons, because in many cases, they realize, too, that this may very well be all that there is and what should happen to me next. It's a big question that many cancer patients ask. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, they will approach you about that, which gives you an opportunity to present that as an option to them.
You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Let me say to our viewers and listeners, cancercenter.com, that's one of the websites, cancercenter.com, healthhopeandinspiration.com. Check out his podcast, Health, Hope, and Inspiration, by Reverend Percy McRae. And I think you'll find those to be inspirational. Pastor, thank you. Your heart, this is just so good all the way around. And it gives people a lot of hope. And I really hope that they will investigate your centers and the services that you provide, because you're dealing with the whole person, and that's so important. Thank you, friend.
Thank you, Perry. I appreciate it. Keep us in your prayers as we keep moving forward, my friend. God bless.
You too. All right. Again, cancercenter.com or healthandhopeandinspiration.com are the two websites. And then look for his podcast, Health, Hope, and Inspiration by Reverend Percy McRae. We'll see you next time on Focus Today.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.